Hello and welcome to this special bonus episode of Colorful Conversations. This is Maya speaking, and today we will be discussing the broad topic of love and dating. We will be drawing from our personal experiences as well as reflecting on the broader conversation surrounding contemporary dating life.
This is Tiffany, and we are recording this episode as a part of CITR's annual fund drive. If you are new to CITR, Fund Drive is our annual fundraiser where we ask our community of listeners to donate through one-time or monthly donations. To donate, you can visit citr.ca/donate. There's also a chance to get some swaggy merch if you donate, like t-shirts, keychains, tote bags, and much more.
Okay, so the topic of dating, of course, is like very broad, but since this year's theme of Fun Drive is Plenty of Fish, which is, I guess, an older dating site, I thought we could start by talking about online dating. And of course, that in itself is a very broad topic, but I was looking up this topic, and as a Black person, as a Black woman, I gravitate towards what's going on with the Black people. And I found this article that was basically talking about the experiences of Black people with online dating. And they found, of course, unsurprisingly, that Black people are not having a good time on these apps, especially Black women. Actually, I think the statistics show that Black women are found to have the least number of responses from like all people from other races. So that to me was really a little bit disheartening. And when you come to like ask yourself like, why do these things happen? I think it goes probably back to like racial and gender stereotypes. But yeah, I don't know if you wanted to like add or incorporate your own opinions and probably experiences as well, because I'm, you know, a dark skinned Black woman, but like you guys have different experiences. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, let me think.
That's okay. It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it is. I think my reaction as well was disheartened a bit, but also not super surprised. Just a lot of things to think about, a lot of emotions. I don't know, dating for me is like, it's, I think for everyone, it's a very like, it can be quite like sensitive, and it can bring like a lot of emotions and memories. And definitely dating as a person of color also has its, you know, moments. I guess my reaction and as to why I'm feeling a bit disheartened is that I don't like it when we're put in like a certain box and seen as unattractive because of certain sets of like stereotypes and beliefs of what a Black woman is. So I think that's why it makes me a bit sad, because then it's like, okay, why is this, you know? Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I had a question. So do either of you have any like personal experiences or, you know, experiences that you've heard of Black women on dating apps? Like, do certain aspects of the apps interface or something like the racial preferences impact their experience on the app?
Yeah, I think just like the broader like our experiences as like Black women. I don't know if Maya's been on dating apps, but I've like frolicked through the dating apps before. Like sometimes I think it's like it's harder for me to like weed out whether certain experiences are obviously like because I'm Black or it's because of who I am, you know. I don't want to just be so like cocky to be like, I'm hot, so people should like love me because I'm hot, and like if they don't love me, they're racist, you know. That's like a very presumptuous like point to make. And obviously because like where I am right now in Vancouver, there's not a lot of like Black people, so it's not like I have a community of like Black girlfriends where I can be like, well, what are you guys going through, so I could like, you know, compare and contrast and see if it's a me thing or if it's like the Black thing. So it's really difficult for me to like pinpoint. Obviously I'm single, so it hasn't been successful. So that's kind of what I found. That's obviously like everybody's inclined to like who they like. And like I said, like I would never like be so presumptuous to be like, okay, it's because I'm Black. Like it's impossible to tell that in my situation, right? But yeah, I don't know if like Maya, you have any experiences. You're probably in a different situation to me.
I've never been on online dating, but I have had experiences because I don't know, just growing up, like I've been always in a predominantly white space. So I think also being like one of the only people of color in a white space has implications on my dating life and, you know, who's going to be attracted to me, who's not. And I think also just being in those spaces, just knowing that I'm different, I think I lost a lot of confidence. And then that in itself affected my dating life, thinking like, oh, like no one's going to be interested in me, even though maybe they are, just like having that loss of self-esteem due to being like one of the only people in a white, like people of color in a white space, you know, that also has like a, you know, an effect on your partner or like, I don't know, of your dating life. And yeah, I think,
I agree.
Yeah, I think in those contexts as well, I think a lot of the loss of like self-esteem and stuff also comes from comments that I would hear. Because I did, you know, just my male friends, my male straight friends, and hearing, you know, what their preferences are. I heard a lot of like blonde, blue-eyed girls that they're really interested in. And obviously I don't have those features. I'm like, damn it. Like, there's no hope. But, yeah. You know, but like, that's not necessarily true. Like, people are going to be interested in you, but it's like your own self and sense of self-worth also like, you know, builds your reality and like, you know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love what you said, but like the comment about if people are like, my preference is like blonde hair and blue eyes, just say you like white people at that point. Like who else has blonde hair and blue eyes?
Golden like, retrievers. Yeah,
it's just like, okay, but what about you, Tiff? Is there like, what is your experiences like as an Asian woman and navigating the dating scene?
Well, I am single. I have been single since birth, so but as similar to you, I've been like frolicking on dating apps just to see like what it's like. I don't know. It's been okay. I think response rate in general for women is likely higher than for men. I would say there are a lot of, I don't know, because I use Hinge and there's a lot of, what do you get? Like when people like you and they want to match?
A like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot of them, which I thought was normal for everyone. But then when I spoke to my guy friends, they're like, yeah, if I get a match a week, like that's great. So I don't know if that is just like, if it's just me. No, I'm kidding.
Wow, she's hot.
Or if it's just like being a woman on a dating app. I think definitely women have it better on dating apps than men, but it's probably different across like Asian woman or Black woman, Latino woman or white woman.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Sakhuya, Talitin, who Musqueam must fail. AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Did you guys grow up like watching like rom-coms and that kind of stuff, or like romance movies, or like reading the books?
I'm gonna fully out myself and say yes, but not like movies or books. It was like, you know, Wattpad.
Oh yes.
So like Wattpad was such a big thing when we were in like middle school. Uh-huh. And it was mainly like fanfic, so you know, it's all like
romance. It's like One Direction like based fanfiction.
Yes, honestly, it was just 1D fanfics, or like vampire werewolf fanfics.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot of like very toxic relationships on there.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know how that affects, because I feel like a lot of readers on Wattpad are very young,
mm-hmm.
really young girls. And it's like young girls are also writing those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where they get that from. So it might be like from the movies and other media that you mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like the media has a role in shaping like our ideas of what love is and like what love should look like. So I definitely feel, especially like if it's coming from fan fiction, maybe you watch like Twilight and you want to like write yourself into that like storyline. So I find it interesting, like the kinds of romance that is like portrayed on there. I don't often feel like it's realistic, so maybe I feel like it doesn't portray like the normal like ups and downs of a relationship, but it also kind of just portrays like people like spend their like time, like a very short amount of time, like trying to find love, they find the right person, and then they like live happily ever after. But it doesn't kind of show like what a relationship actually looks like. And for, I feel like a lot of people, if you didn't have like a quote unquote healthy relationship modeled for you, then it's kind of like you're just like left to your own devices and like left to what the media has told you. And then if we want to get into like media representation, and like, I know that I didn't see myself like being in like a love interest in like romance novels, or like I read a lot of romance novels or like even movies or anything like that. So I never really fucked with romance like movies anyway, or rom-coms, because I was like, what's that got to do with me, you know? But I guess it's getting better now. But I feel like, and I guess Mai can talk about it as well, like I feel like the main leading roles in terms of like women that you see are like people like Zendaya, like Zoe Kravitz. These are all like biracial light-skinned women, yeah. Which are like, they're taken as, oh, this is a Black woman, we gave you a Black woman, and she's
that's
like
the lead thing. Yeah, I feel like that's also a thing. Like I think I definitely see myself like more portrayed in the media than like if I were a dark-skinned Black woman, and it's putting in like a biracial main character or light-skinned like Black woman. It's something, but it's not enough.
I definitely don't think it's enough. And I think it also like ties back into like how the media shapes like our perceptions a lot, especially if we grow up with those stories and we grow up with those images. I wonder too if the reason why, like, for example, Black people may not be seen as the ideal like partners, because like in the movies or whatever, they weren't like put in those like roles. So maybe it's like the beauty standard is set by media, you know? So if it's not in a romance, you know, novel, then it's like in a magazine or something. So I guess if like you're being told that, oh, what you should want is like a person with like blonde hair and blue eyes, because that's like who always gets the like leading role, then like that becomes the norm. So I think it's just like a like perpetuating cycle of like, okay, and then if that becomes what people are dating anyway, and that's what people want to see, and then the media is like, okay, well, if we put like a black person in it, this romance movie, like people aren't going to want to see that movie or something. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts. But I don't know, but what about Tiffany? What do you see, like Asian representation?
Well, personally, for me, I feel like it's a little different because a lot of the media I consume is like Chinese dramas or like K-dramas or Japanese dramas. So it's a very homogenous dating scene, you know, Chinese and Chinese, Korean, Japanese and Japanese. So it's a little different, but definitely in Western media, I don't see a lot of Asian women. Yeah, I don't think I can recall. If you two can.
I think the biggest one was Crazy Rich Asians. That was like the recent one that was like, I don't know. I haven't watched this because it sounds so bad. I haven't watched it, but I guess like that was the most Western Asian representation, I guess. Or like
that
whatever.
Is true. I think that was done pretty well. It was like representing an Asian American woman.
Mm-hmm.
And her dating life.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely, yeah, you're right. I think that's the first one that I've seen, and a relatively younger woman that's around us, perhaps. So yeah. I kind of could see myself in her.
I think it's getting better. Like, I feel like just compared to like what my mom saw, because she was in Canada. And like during her childhood and what she saw in the media versus now, like there's definitely a lot more representation. She would like point out things and be like, oh, I've never seen something like that before, like on TV. I'm like, oh, okay, because that's like actually kind of common now, but there's still work to do. But
yeah
it has gotten better.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosions.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Thank you for listening to this bonus episode of Colorful Conversations, where we talked about navigating our dating lives as women of color. Stay tuned for more episodes of Colorful Conversations.